subject this morning is called to higher service, as we want to deal with the death of Moses. And our text for this morning is there, that verse 5. Verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Speaking about his life and ministry, the great evangelist, the Reverend George Whitefield, said that he would rather wear out as rust out. In other words, he wanted to keep working and laboring for his Lord and Master right up until the day that the Lord called him home to higher service. Historians tell us that Mr. Whitefield preached from 40 to 60 hours every week, a total of more than 18,000 sermons during his 34 years of public ministry. He crossed the Atlantic 13 times and ministered extensively in the American colonies. He preached to thousands throughout Great Britain. This included 3 visits to Ireland and 14 visits to Scotland. When a friend of his protested that he preached too often, it was then that Mr. Whitefield said, "I had rather wear out as rust out." And he would often say, "We are immortal until our work is done." And it was during his final visit to America on September 30th, 1770, that the Reverend George Whitefield was indeed called to higher service. He died in Newburyport, Massachusetts, and he's buried there in a Presbyterian church graveyard. That's an example of a man who gave every waking hour to serving his Lord and Savior, saying, "I would rather wear out as rust out." That indeed was most commendable, just as it was most commendable in the way that Moses served the Lord, labored for the Lord, and how he finished his days upon earth. American preacher said he wanted to finish his days in the saddle. He wanted to finish his days, as it were, preaching in the pulpit. He finished, that is Moses, he finished his days by being busy in the Lord's service until his last hours, until his last breath, leading Israel into the possessing of Gilead. He then reviewed the law for the generation of the children of Israel, copying the law and giving it to the Levites for safekeeping, to be put into the Ark of the Covenant, Deuteronomy 31, verses 24 to 26. He had written a new song, which the Lord had given to him to give to the children of Israel and teach the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 31, verses 19, 22, and 30. And Deuteronomy 32 is taken up with the words of that song. Then he pronounced the blessing. This was coming up to his final hours, his final day upon earth. He's working right up to the very end. And he pronounced the blessing upon each of the tribes of Israel. Deuteronomy 33. Now we come to Deuteronomy 34. And in this chapter, we read about the death of Moses. The Lord told him to climb up Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah. And it was there that God gave him a view of the promised land. But he told Moses that he would not enter in himself to that promised land. He spent 40 years leading Israel through the wilderness. And now his journey was all but done. His journey was all but finished. And he was to climb up to Mount Pisgah. And there his days would end. For we read in the verse 5, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. I trust that as we have studied the life of Moses together, indeed I just checked the other day, we have covered the life of Moses in 65 messages that we have preached over a year. And I trust that during that period of time, we've learned something about Moses and we've learned something about ourselves. And know it's been a blessing to my own soul as I've studied the life of this great man of God. And so let us consider the death of Moses and the man Moses at that time when he was called to higher service. I first of all want to consider the Lord's title for Moses. We're not told who wrote the last chapter of Deuteronomy. Obviously, Moses himself couldn't have written it since it was in that last chapter. His death is recorded. We're not told who wrote it, but we certainly know that it is part of the inspired word of God. As Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. And Peter also tells us, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1 verse 21. And who that holy man of God was who wrote the final chapter of Deuteronomy, we are thankful that the God of heaven moved him to do so, to record the final days of this great man Moses and to tell us about the day that he died and was called to higher service. The Lord's title for Moses, there it is in the verse 5. Moses, the servant of the Lord. There's his title. That's how Moses will always be known. That's the title he'll always be known by. Moses, the servant of the Lord. Regarding this title, we say it was a given title for Moses. Here we have the title which God gave to this man, Moses, the servant of the Lord. Indeed, I find that 20 times we come across these words in Scripture. We have the name and then the servant of the Lord. 20 times that we have that phrase, 16 of those times refers to Moses. 16 times we read in Scripture, Moses, the servant of the Lord. That was the title that had been given to him. The servant of the Lord, the word Lord, of course, we know is Jehovah. And what an honor, what a privilege to be given such a title, to be known, indeed to be called, to be the servant of Jehovah. That was Moses, the servant of Jehovah. Three other occasions, when speaking about him, the Lord said and referred to him as my servant Moses. As I say, what an honor, what a privilege for God, the Lord Jehovah. When speaking about an individual and speaking about Moses, he said, my servant Moses. He's my servant. He's my servant. I have no doubt that the Lord could have given Moses other titles, but he chose this one, Moses, the servant of the Lord. But this was most appropriate, because the word servant is a word that means doer. Moses was a doer. A doer, a servant of the Lord, was what Moses actually wanted to be. He wanted to be the Lord's servant. He wanted to be a worker for Jehovah. He wanted to be a doer for the Lord. He could have easily enjoyed a life of ease in Egypt, enjoyed the riches of Egypt. But that's not what he chose. That's not what he wanted. He wanted to be a servant of the Lord. If you turn, please, to Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11. And there in Hebrews 11, there we read in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather. Hebrews 11, verse 24. Now verse 25, choosing rather. What did he turn his back upon? He turned his back upon a life of ease and affluence and riches and the pleasures of Egypt, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Who was he seeing? He had his eye upon God, the God of heaven, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He turned his back upon Egypt. Notice for Moses, the true riches for him was serving God, bearing reproach for Christ. You think of all that Moses went through during those 40 years in the wilderness, and indeed the reproach that he endured and that he suffered, all in the cause of his God, all in the cause of Jehovah. That's why he was given that title, Moses, the servant of the Lord. Turning his back upon the treasures of Egypt, and chose rather to lay up his treasures in heaven. Moses, the servant of the Lord. What about us? Could that title be given to us? Can we be looked upon and described as the servants of the Lord, as the doers for the Lord? As the hymn writer has put it, shall I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fight to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Moses, the servant of the Lord. As well as a given title for Moses, we notice also it was God's title for Moses. God gave Moses this title. It's interesting to find that this title, Moses, the servant of the Lord, was given to Moses after his death. You look through the scriptures, and you'll not find that title, Moses, the servant of the Lord, given to God's servant before his death. It was given to him after his death. Here we have it. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there. And you can go on from here, and you'll find that's where you come across the title, Moses, the servant of the Lord. After his death. Usually when someone passes away, people say all kinds of things about that individual. Usually try to paint as nice a picture of the individual as they can. And sometimes when you listen to a description of someone that's been given at their funeral, you can hardly recognize the person they're talking about. But here Moses was given this title by God. When Moses died, God spoke of him as Moses, the servant of the Lord. And here we are told what God said about him, which really is all that matters. It really doesn't matter what people say about us or what people think about us. It's what God says. That's what matters. Take, for example, the story that the Lord told one day about the ground of a certain rich man that brought forth plentifully. And this rich man had planned, he had gone out, looked in his fields, and his fields, he had a great harvest yet to bring in, and his barns were already full. And he stood there wringing his hands and saying, what shall I do? And then he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater, and then I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. And no doubt his friends and his neighbors looked upon that successful, rich man and said, he's a great man. He's a great businessman. That's what men would have said about him. But what did God say? And it's only what God says that matters. What did God say about that same man who said, I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater? God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? His barns that were full of grain. His riches. Whose would those things be after he was gone? I remember in Newton Abbey, I used to visit a wee lady, she was called Mrs. McEwen. She was a sweet Christian lady. And practically every time I visited her, at some time during the visit, she would talk about going home to be with the Lord. And she would say, you know, I can't bring anything with me. Because she says, there are no pockets in a shroud. And I don't know, many times I remember Mrs. McEwen said, there are no pockets in a shroud. You can't bring it with you. That's the point the Lord is making here. Regarding this rich man, who shall those things be? And for the rich man, his whole life revolved around making more money. And you can just imagine the day of his funeral as his casket was brought down the street, people standing looking, his neighbors and his friends looking and said, there go the remains of a rich man. And God would say, there go the remains of a fool. See, it's what God says about us that matters. And God said of this man, Moses, he's my servant. Moses, the servant of the Lord. Moses, the servant of the Lord. He was a doer. Yes, he was a doer. He was a worker. And God giving Moses that title after his death, God was really saying, well done, Moses. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Matthew 25 and verse 21. What does that remind us of? It reminds us, I have only one life on this earth. And as vapor, it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth. Our toil ends at the close of the day. Only one life to give. I could never withhold it from God. Only one life to live. I must not miss the well done. The well done of God. Moses, the servant of the Lord. You see, believer, only what's done for Jesus will last. It's a given title. Moses, the servant of the Lord. It's God's title. Moses, the servant of the Lord, the servant of Jehovah. It's also a gained title. In other words, a title he deserved. The Queen, we know, the year at her birthday, will give out awards, MBEs and knighthoods to individuals who have gained that title that they've received from the Queen of England because of the work that they have done over their lifetime. But far better to get a title from God. Far better to be called and to be given this title, the servant of Jehovah. There's a gain title for Moses. He gained it. He deserved it. Israel's leader was called the servant of Jehovah. And that was a well-deserved title. The Savior, you recall one day, he challenged his disciples. He said to his disciples, when the Lord had ministering to a multitude of people who had gathered around him, he exhorted the disciples to look on that multitude. And he said this, he says, the harvest truly is plenteous. Look at that multitude of people. The need to be given the truth of the gospel. The souls to be saved. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Then he went on to say, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9, verse 37. But I want you to notice, what I want you to notice is the word that the Lord used. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers, doers, workers. That's what the word laborer means, as you would imagine. It means a worker. The Lord needs workers. Workers. He needs laborers to serve him. He needs workers to fill pulpits. We've said a few weeks ago about the people throughout North America who contact our presbytery and say, could you send somebody to minister to us? There are a few families here in the different parts of the states, and we have nowhere to go to worship. We need someone to come and minister to us. Of course, we don't have the men to do that. We were praying for those who are in our seminary. We were praying for them a few weeks ago, and I give you the names of those men. But what are these among so many? We need more laborers. We need more workers. And the Lord told his disciples, pray, the Lord will send forth laborers. Well, Moses was a laborer. And that's what it is to serve the Lord. No, we don't go to heaven on a flowery bed of ease. We're to work. There's work to be done everywhere. Paul called those who helped him in the spread of the gospel, he called them fellow laborers. Didn't call them fellow men. He called them fellow laborers. And the apostle told the Corinthian believers, we are laborers together. We are workers together with God. With God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9. And then over in Mark's Gospel 16 and verse 20, before the Lord returned to his heavenly Father, we know how he sent forth his disciples to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this is what is recorded in Mark's Gospel. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Listen, the Lord working with them. The Lord was working with them. They were workers. And they were fellow workers with the Lord. How we need laborers and workers Every church needs workers. We need men and women to work. And that's what Moses was. He was a servant of the Lord. He was a worker. He was a doer. He was a laborer. You think of Moses' life, the first 40 years of his life, he became learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Then he turned his back upon it all. The next 40 years of his life, he spent in the wilderness, where he kept the sheep and held fellowship with God. Those years would have been years of preparation for what was coming. And then the third 40 years of his life spent leading Israel through the wilderness to the land of promise, training them to become a nation and leading them to the land of Canaan, the promised land. During those last 40 years in the wilderness, he had been tried and tested and often troubled. He had been condemned and criticized by Israel. You recall how they basically turned their back upon him when he went up the mount to spend 40 days and 40 nights with God. We know not what has happened to this man, Moses. Let us make us gods. This man, Moses. And we know what took place when Moses came down that mount. And during those 40 years, he prayed for them. For me, that's the one thing that stands out in the life of Moses. His prayer life. No matter what happened in the camp of Israel, Moses took it to the Lord in prayer. And when the people turned against him, he took it to the Lord in prayer. When the people turned to idolatry, he took it to the Lord in prayer. When the people criticized him and condemned him and chastised him, he took it to the Lord in prayer. Moses was a man of prayer. He cared for that nation. He cared for that people. He carried that nation in his bosom. He carried that nation in his heart. And he cared for them as a shepherd cares for his sheep. Moses, the servant of the Lord. It was the Lord's title for him. We come now to the Lord's time for Moses. We're given it there in the verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. There's the Lord's time. It was the Lord's time. It was the Lord's time for Moses to go. I just touched on this morning. And here we notice regarding the Lord's time for Moses, the day for Moses. Even though Moses was a great, good, and godly man, yet his time of departure had come. He was in good health. Look at verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old. His father and grandfather and great-grandfather lived longer than Moses did. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. He was in good health. You could say he was in perfect health. And here we notice the day for Moses. He died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. His time had come. Only two men in Scripture are we told about who escaped the visit from an angel of death. Those two men, Enoch and Elijah. They were not because God took them. But for everyone else, Paul's words are applied. It is appointed unto man once to die. It's appointed. It's appointed. It's appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. And that is one appointment that every one of us will keep. Because God has appointed the time, the day, when he will take us out of this scene of time. The day of our departure is already appointed by God. Turn, please, to the book of Job. The book of Job. And we turn there in chapter 14. There in chapter 14 of the book of Job, read in verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cast down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Look at verse 5. Seeing his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee, with God. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. He cannot pass. And there's that word, appointed again. Paul said, it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. And there we read in Job 14 and verse 5, seeing his days are determined and the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. So God has set the number of years, the number of months, the number of weeks, the number of days, the number of hours, the number of minutes that we live. And when that last minute has come, we will not go beyond that minute. He set our bounds that we cannot pass. Does that not bring it home to us? What have we done for the Lord? What have we accomplished for God? I've said before many times when I read our church magazines and see young men being ordained or installed, I must say there's a tinge of jealousy, because I wish I was starting all over again. I do. I wish I was starting all over again. I wish I was back there in the theological hall, starting out again. But that's not to be. But we can all serve the Lord. What do we read in our text? So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. According to the Lord's word. The Lord had told Moses when he would take him home. And that was a boundary that Moses could not pass. The day was set. The hour was set. The Lord had already told Moses. If you turn back to Numbers 27. And there in Numbers 27. We read in verse 12 and 13. Numbers 27. Verses 12 and 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this mount, Abiram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. In other words, the Lord was telling Moses, when you have seen the land, and that's what we have in the opening verses of chapter 34 of Deuteronomy. When you have seen the land, that's when I'll take you home. The day was set. The hour was set. And now when we get to Deuteronomy 34 and verse 5, the hour had come. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. Would that not challenge us about what we have done and what we can do for God? We want surely to be known as the servants of the Lord. We want to labor not for riches, but for that well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter now into thy rest. We'll conclude the story of the death of Moses next Sabbath morning, Lord willing. We've considered the title, the Lord's title. We've touched upon the Lord's time for Moses. And then we'll continue that point and we'll finish next week with the Lord's tribute to Moses. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving and gracious God, we bow before thee. And Lord, how the life of Moses has challenged us and spoken to us. What a man Moses was. Moses, the servant of the Lord. What an honor to be called the servant of the Lord. What a privilege to be called the servant of the Lord. And my, what a servant Moses was. And oh, gracious God, he has gone to his eternal reward. And he's still enjoying that reward. Lord, I pray again thou would write thy word upon the fleshly tables of our hearts. And oh, gracious Lord, may we not soon forget it. But even think about it and meditate upon it today. Be with us, Lord, throughout this Sabbath day. Watch over us. Grant us traveling mercy on our way home today. And indeed, Lord, throughout this week. And Lord, protect us all. And remember those that are laid aside. Again, pray dear for Dr. Cairns. Lord, in thy will be pleased to heal him and raise him up, and his dear wife, many others who are suffering from this virus, and those who have lost loved ones. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now, and until the day breaks, and the shadows all flee away. Amen.